and the lawyers don't think it's funny that we're living next door to white trash with money. Well, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Quit school early and never went back. The rich kids all looked down on me. They said as good as them was something that I'd never be. Started playing my guitar to earn a few bucks. Singing my songs to a room full of drunks. A record man heard me down at Kitty's bar. Come on to Nashville and I'll make you a star. Well, I might have been born just for white trash, but I sold a million records and made a little cash. The doctors and the lawyers don't think it's funny that we're living next door to white trash with money. Bought a big house on top of the hill. Brand new Harley and a coupe de ville. The neighbors all cried when I moved in. Seems real estate's cheaper than it's ever been. Now the radio plays all the railroad songs. I lay around the pool and listen all day long. This country boy's life sure turned out swell. If the neighbors don't like it, they can all go to well.
Radio calling, War Radio calling. This is War Radio at resist.com on your dial. Email us at warmetzger@aol.com. Write us at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And call our 24-hour phone line and ask your question or leave your comment at 760-723-8996. And there was my favorite band, Confederate Railroad. White Trash with Money. I love that song. I love that song. Well, it's about time to get the show going here. Yeah. It's time. Yeah, I snuck off up to Lancaster, California last week there, and I'll tell the doctor about it when he comes in. And I got to see Confederate Railroad play up there. And the night before, they played up at Gilly's in Las Vegas. I'd like to have been at that one, but anyhow, they had a great show down there, and we like that Confederate Railroad, and trying to get them farther down here to a real Southern California here, yeah. Now, if you haven't sent in your subscription for the War newspaper, or you have not renewed your subscription, get on the ball, boys and girls, and send that $30 in the USA to P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And remember, you make your checks or your money orders, or you send your cash to John Metzger, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Yep, do it that way or PayPal. It's warresist@aol.com. Warresist@aol.com. Now, if you're ordering from overseas, remember it's $50 in all of the countries offshore, and it's $40 in Canada If you're ordering merchandise from Europe or offshore, include 25% of the total bill on the shipment for first-class mail. It costs a lot of money to send this stuff foreign first class. Well, I hear old Dr. Collenberg coming down the hall. Now, we got a little group here ready to meet him. Woo! Hey, it's Dr. Collenberg. How you doing, man?
Pretty good for a minute there. I was waiting for the machine guns to go.
Yeah, well, you never know when you walk into this studio whether there's going to be a submachine gun, a weapon of mass destruction pointed at you, or a lot of friendly racists.
Or a dog.
Yeah.
Or half Cody.
You didn't hear me calling about the Confederate Railroad, man. You heard that song I played.
Yeah, yeah.
I never heard that one before. White trash with money?
No.
Well, you know, that's too bad, because we're just white trash without any money at all.
That's true.
That makes us low-class white trash.
I tell you, like Woody Harrelson, he said that no matter how much money he got, he'd still be poor white trash. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool that, you know, his dad's, I guess, on death row for killing a judge and stuff.
Yeah, man.
So he's kind of a real working guy. You know, he's not like most of the Hollywood elitist.
Okay, well, anyhow, what's been going on with you this week? Been a week?
Man.
Hey, look, we got a little problem up on the web.
What's that?
Well, he's got all of our radio shows up there listed. But you go to play them, you only get about 26 seconds out of each show.
Oh, that still persists?
There's still a problem. So they're not getting our latest shows incomplete.
Oh.
The complete thing.
Well, they get the best 20 seconds.
Yeah, well, that's when I play the music. See? Yeah. Hey, and don't forget, I got my old barbed wire show going, too, now. We got the first one up there. That's what a friend of mine used to call country music.
Barbed wire music. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got the other show almost done.
Does your barbed wire show, does that play all the way, or is that cut off?
No, I only get 26 seconds of that, too, so we have a problem.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we'll get it straightened out, but that the old Terrible Tommy's Country Show is going to be up on the website, too, to download, and that's going to be mostly just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have much fun here, do we?
No.
No, because I jump all over your ass, Doctor.
Yeah, I've got to look at you.
Anytime somebody says they're the knower of all truth, I'm looking at them real weird like, what else is happening?
All kinds of shit, man. Oh, the Middle East is going up. Kaboom.
Bananas.
Kaboom, kaboom.
Well, what it seemed to me there was a couple of guys here a year ago saying it was going to go up kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And their name was Terrible Tommy and Dr. Collenberg.
Yes.
Yeah, we knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, and everybody, you know, I go around town and, you know, I go in and have a cup of coffee, maybe a beer once in a while, and I talk to these people. And I told them, I says, you know, you're going to get in there, you're going to get your ass kicked. Oh, no, man, we're going in there and just kick their ass. And you know why they pulled back there and had that ceasefire? It wasn't because they were giving them a chance to da-da-da-da-da, because they can re-equip themselves inside the city. They can dig in deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Our troops are getting their ass kicked. That's why.
Yeah.
They were getting their ass kicked.
Oh, you know, in New Jersey, the FBI's been investigating because there's a gasoline tanker that's disappeared for a week. And nobody knows what happened to the truck driver or where it went or anything, so they're thinking maybe that the WOGs got it. Because I guess in Israel they stole a gasoline tanker and blew it up, made a bomb out of it.
Might be easy to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, hell, there's gas tankers all over the country. They're all just bombs going down the highway.
Yeah, it's not like he ran off the road. If he ran off the road, a gas tanker or something easy to see, you know.
I you know what I think? They hijacked it for the gas.
Yeah, maybe that.
Not for terrorism, because a terrorist wouldn't want to hold on to it that long, because it's hard to hide a tanker.
Yeah.
He'd want to get that sucker and run it into something.
Yeah.
So that's happened before.
Yeah.
Well, hell, the price of gas.
Well,
how much do those damn big tankers carry?
Oh,
thousands of gallons.
Yeah, thousands and thousands.
Yeah, figure if you only sold them at a buck a gallon, and just to drop it on the market, you know. But wow, man, I got to find me a tanker, not to be a terrorist, but I want the money for the gas.
Well, I think what's going to happen.
Maybe I can bury it in the backyard and run my cars with it.
You know what the Al-Qaeda learned in Spain, that if you set a bomb off before the election, that you can change the election? I have a feeling before this election comes up, probably right before the vote, there's going to be a bunch of bombings inside American soil just so they can have effects on the election.
I think one congressman already dropped a bomb today.
What was that?
We're going to have to probably start the draft up. Because too many middle class and poor people are in this battle.
Yeah.
What do you think happens when they have the draft? It was all the middle class and poor people.
All the rich kids got out of it.
They get out anyhow. Yeah. They'll always figure out, like Bush.
Yeah.
He joined
it. They'll get a doctor that says that they're flat foot, or they'll go to college and their parents will pay them through college.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you're right. You're right, doctor. Yeah. It means... Yeah, that's good. Okay. Well, I don't know. I think I'm too old to draft.
Oh, yeah.
I might volunteer just to have some fun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny if old terrible Tommy went over there?
Well, you know, there's a clause on the draft thing. I don't know, it was in Vietnam, that if you're the only son, that you're not eligible for the draft.
Oh, I'm an only son!
Well, you know what's funny about that is so many white people are just having one kid. That if they had a draft, then that means that all the white people wouldn't go and just be the Mexicans because they have five or six kids in their family.
Well, the only whites I see over there now are the ones up in the front.
Yeah.
And 2/3 of them over there are not white.
Yeah.
And God, they got all these guys that can't even hardly speak English. Little Guatemalans.
Yeah, they get to be American citizens if they go over there and fight.
Yeah. Well, I see the Guatemalans. Wait a minute. They're in big trouble because the Guatemalans and the Hondurans are pulling out.
Oh, yeah, I saw 300 little midgets were marching out.
There goes the war, man. I thought we had it in a bag until they said they're coming.
They look like little farm workers or something, little guys marching and stuff. It's pretty comical.
Why, those guys, I see them around here, they look like they're about 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And they're about, 30 years old.
Oh, yeah, it's like an Indian.
Yeah, and it seemed like the guys even smaller than the women.
Yeah, they're really bizarre looking. Like you do, you look at them and there's... unbelievably short, under 4 foot, a lot of them.
Well, let's see. I had another point I was going to come up with, but our friend Matt Hale.
Mm-hmm.
That trial is shutting down today. They're
yeah.
doing their summations. This is a Wednesday, and this is the, what is this today? This
21st,
the day after Uncle Adolf's birthday. Yeah, so they're going to sum up the thing and give it to the jury today.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
And in about 40 minutes, they'll be back on the guilty verdict.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is if you look at all the evidence they put in that trial, it's all like Portland, because a lot of stuff they put in, like they put in the CNN interview of Matt talking about the Church of the Creator, and nothing's about any evidence about him actually wanting to kill the judge. It's all about his beliefs and stuff, and that's the key evidence. I think that's when they get the jury.
Yeah, well, they said something about they got a tape they ran yesterday in court between him and his father on the prison phone.
Yeah.
And they alleged that he was telling his father how to testify to the grand jury or something. I don't know, man. Come on. You know, they'll take, look, they said at the beginning of the trial, well, no, his racial views have nothing to do with this. They will not be in it at all, and that's all they talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know... I would say, conservatively, Matt's going to get about 10 years.
Well, I was thinking 30.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they got that strong a case.
Oh.
No matter what, I look for the worst with poor old Matt. And I can't understand it how this guy followed him around all that time and he was taping him. And these guys got to learn to check people out. God. For months and months.
A lot of these people, and they're in the movement that their mouth comes out. They say the government's rotten, but they actually don't believe it.
Yeah.
So I think they're too trusting.
Yeah, that's
I think they really need to believe that the government's as fucked up as we say, because it really is.
It's fucked up, all right.
What the fuck was that?
That's a
What does that mean?
Well, that means these guys puking or something.
Oh.
What do you think of that? What are you doing? There was that guy in the front row over there. Hell, that's your uncle, isn't it?
I have no idea what that was. That wino? Wino puking in the front row.
Oh, anyhow, I tell, people, I'm the damp cloth on everybody, I have a lot of fun, but I tell them, if you go to court, federal court, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
They're going to get your ass.
Yeah.
Some way, somehow, for something.
Yeah.
Don't matter how innocent or you are.
Oh, innocent doesn't mean shit.
You know why? Why do you think this is?
Because it's a fucked up democracy and you put retards in power.
I mean day-to-day situation.
Mm-hmm.
What they want now, Bush and these people are asses in a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Bush has got big problems.
Yeah.
Now, what do they want to do? They want to get as many little guys around the country that don't have any power to do something, or at least look like they're going to do something, grab them, have a big show trial, and they can say, the Homeland Security can say, oh, man, we're cleaning up these domestic terrorists and all that shit while we're getting our ass kicked out over in Iraq. That's what that kind of shit's all about, to make it look like this FBI. That, you know, did you see that George Tenet, this CIA guy, on The Daily Show last night?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the stupidest guy in the world. He hasn't done anything right since they've appointed him, but yet they keep him.
Yeah.
Well, he must have something on Bush. He must have caught him in the Oval Office getting a little fellatio.
I think Bush likes him because he's one of the few people in politics that's dumber than Bush, and you know, he makes Bush feel good.
God, isn't these guys, I mean, it's so obvious how dumb they are, you know, and a lot of people don't like him. But it's beyond us liking them.
Yeah.
They don't have any respect for them.
Well, if you're a Bush, would you want to be surrounded by everyone who's smarter than you are?
Oh, wow.
You know, can you imagine Bush, you walk into a conversation, and they're talking, and they're saying all these 50-cent words that he has no idea what the fuck they're talking about, and he's the president, supposed to be in charge, has no idea what's going on in his cabinet.
And look at Nigger Powell.
Yeah.
They're going to toss Nigger Powell to the wolves.
Yeah.
They weren't even letting him in on anything.
Yeah.
They told Prince Bandar, the raghead, the battle plan before they told Powell, the Secretary of State. He gets the word after the raghead over in Saudi Arabia gets the word, or anybody else. It's hilarious.
Affirmative action's wonderful.
I'm rolling in the aisles. I'm telling you, this. If you're not laughing at this stuff, you go insane.
Yeah.
The only thing that drives up the wall is how many people out there in the public believe this.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah.
But they hang on. They say, oh, it's our country and our war, and we got, and they really believe all this bullshit.
Well, that's the major problem with democracy. Even though democracy worked like it did in the textbook, where every man had a vote and every man decided, you know, the masses are just a bunch of idiots. They're a bunch of morons.
So oh, I just talked to a guy this morning about that by email.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you know, he said, hey, Tom, you've been telling them for 20 years how the masses are, but still they don't listen.
Yeah.
Now, look, trouble with a guy like Matt, and he's a good guy, I have no doubt. In fact, I got a videotape I put together of him speaking and an I speaking over in Indiana a couple of years ago. So if you want a sort of the first time I ever met him personally.
Yeah.
And so he gave a speech, and in fact, he gave two speeches, and I gave one speech. I got him on videotape for a $20 bill. If you people need to listen to this, there's a little difference in our approaches.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, and what was I going to say? Oh yeah, the trouble is you attract people around you who say you're wonderful.
Yeah,
you're right. Oh, I'll follow you to the ends of the earth, and pretty soon that starts getting to you. I guess that's why when I was leader of the Klan, I got to where when anybody come up and wanted to kiss my ass, I suspected them right away. Being an agent.
That's why every day I tell you to get fucked.
that's right. I won't trust you one day longer if you don't say stuff like that. Because if you kiss my ass one day, Bill, I'm dumping you, man.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
There's hope in Russia. There's opinion. There's an opinion.
I can't fire you. You don't even work for me.
That's true. You work for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's an opinion poll in Russia. And they're all upset because over 70% of the people, Russian people, said that democracy was a bunch of crap and it won't work. And 26% of them said if Stalin was running today, they'd vote for Joseph Stalin for president. And 19% of them said that they would think about it. So that's almost 50% of the Russian people would either vote for Stalin or think about voting for Stalin.
Well, you know why? It's not that things were good under Stalin, but they knew what was going on. From day to day, they knew exactly what it was. It might have been shitty, but they could depend on it. With capitalism the way it is, the ruble could go up, it could go down.
You know, in Russia, among Russian high school girls, you know what the number one career choice is for Russian high school girls?
Prostitution.
Prostitution. Yeah. And a lot of them want to go. They want to go to the Middle East or Israel or in exotic lands and become hookers. They can make more money than they can working in a factory in Russia.
Yeah, those Arabs, you know, they'll.
They want white girls.
Yeah.
Why are they applauding for white girls being prostitutes to hookers?
I got sort of a screwed up audience here.
I want to kick their fucking asses, God. It pisses me off. Sons of bitches.
I don't know how these people get in here. I guess it must have been from that. You know, there's a bar got hit by a tornado back there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think five guys are trapped, but I think the rest of them came here. That's my audience.
Yeah. The tornado's trying to get into a bar? Is that where the three people got killed in Illinois?
Yeah, well, no, they weren't in the bar, I don't think. But the bar, they're still trying to dig them out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine sitting in there about half drunk and a tornado hit, and all of a sudden you're under a whole building? Oh, and wow.
You probably got Homer Simpson and Barney in there. They're hog having all the free beer they can drink.
Yeah,
they're
right. That's probably it. They don't want to come out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, I can't reach you. I can't reach you. Oh, good, you know. Yeah. Hey, I got a magazine here that just pisses me off.
What's this?
It's the AARP. You know, that's the American Association for Retired Persons.
Okay.
It's supposed to be for all us old assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's turned into, they say their mission now is to change the social climate in the country. Something like that, mm-hmm. they said. Not to help old folks, you know, but now they've changed, the kites have got a hold of this.
Yeah.
Now on the front, here's Danny Glover, and he's just smiling his ass off. And the quote, Danny Glover says, "Every day of my life, I walk with the idea that I'm black, no matter how successful I am." Danny Glover. Now, what if a white person would get on the front of AARP, which he wouldn't, and sit there in a chair and say, "Every day of my life, I walk with the idea that I am white, no matter how successful I am." You think that would ever get?
Oh no, no, the democracy.
Well, now
put down on that.
They got a big special report to the old people.
What it?
And I believe it. I believe it. A new America. 71% now approve of interracial marriage. Even their own children. Are we close to Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a beloved community, plus the startling genetics of hate? Well, the point is that how do we know that 71% of the people said that? And how do we know how they asked the question? Because these polls are always asking loaded questions. But, when I see these damn little spicklet offspring mulatto kids of the black, say a black Marine and a white woman, and God, they're everywhere nowadays, and then I see the grandmas holding those little babies, man. Mm-hmm. They love those little...
Oh, yeah, Jesus told them to.
Jesus told them to, as long as it's a little baby, it's cute. Well, they get in the line at the supermarket, and people will smile, and the old ladies will smile at these little things.
Mm-hmm. Make,
and if I'm in a line, half the time I'm liable to say something. I say, "God, that's an ugly kid," or something like that, anything, you know. But then I run.
Well, I notice a lot that the race mixing isn't so much with the whites and the niggers, it is the whites and the Mexicans. The whites and the goobs.
Well, of course. You're going to take a Mexican broad before you take a nigger broad.
That's the major form of race mixing in California.
Well, you see, the black women are the ones that really get the shaft in a way because, you know. You know how I was reading about how that come about?
Yeah.
Well, our ancestors, the men were mostly the hunter-gatherer to go out and fight the war most of the time. There's women that did it too, like Queen Boardica or whatever. But the blacks were down there in Africa where things were growing off all the fruit off the trees. And the women just went out and gathered fruit off the trees and the old man just sit around.
Yeah.
So that's how it's been transferred into our culture. The nigger guy just loafs around, or a good percentage of them, and the women are working their ass off. Nigger's taking off trying to find a white broad, and here's the nigger broad doing all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't more nigger broads killing nigger guys? I can't understand it. I know they do, but not as many as they should.
Yeah.
We got to get something going there.
It's interesting, you know, like when I was in Job Corps and stuff, it was surprising that how many black women are lesbians. Because I guess that
you are. I didn't know that there were that many.
I mean, it's,
are there many?
I mean, tons of them. I guess because a lot of black guys don't want black women, or because the black women just get sick of them or something. But I mean,
well, I can see that
because
I've got a book by a black woman that said the only way she could find a black man was go to funerals all the time. You know, there's not hardly a black man with a job, is what she said.
Yeah,
you can find all kinds of black men, but none that can support anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a huge. I mean, they had a whole dorm that was nothing but black lesbians.
Well, I'm telling you, there's plenty of white lesbians running around.
Yeah.
Boy, they're everywhere.
Well, it's a hip thing to be, so you got to show that you resist the evil white male and become a lesbian.
they don't bother me so much as long as they don't start yapping, giving you trouble, you know. Mm-hmm. But they start that bullshit of trying to get it over a white guy. Well, then they got to have trouble with me.
Yeah.
The same way with a white male homo. Just stay away from me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking under my bed for one, you know, but, well, hell, I better look because I wouldn't want one to get under there. Remember that old saying? Katie barred the door shut, there's a man under the bed. Anyhow, there was a joke I heard about this old Jew.
Mm-hmm.
He was dying.
Uh-huh.
Old Eliezer Goldstein, and he's in his bedroom laying there, and he's only got a short time to live. So he calls his whole family into his bedside. And in comes Hiram, and in comes Abraham, and in comes all these, and all the women, and all the little kids, all the Jews. He says, "Are you all in here?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, then how come the light's still on in the kitchen?" You know, it's cheap. Electricity bill. You didn't get that, did you?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, you Dutchman, you didn't even get that. What's the next point? Wait a minute.
I saw this clip of the newspaper that there's this memorial to this Indian killer. I guess this white guy supposedly killed 99 Indians.
Wait a minute! That was my story!
That was your story!
Go ahead.
Where'd you get it from?
I told you, we wanted to run it on the front page, but we couldn't, the picture wasn't big enough.
That's true.
The monument. You got the monument.
Oh!
The picture of the monument.
Okay.
Well, tell the story.
Well, anyway, there was this guy, this white guy supposedly killed 99
Indians.
Engines and some engines went there and vandalized his gravestone, and the townspeople want to put the stone back up, but then the engines are protesting because it's a racist thing to put his gravestone up.
Well, that's a little bit different story than I saw. The one I saw was the monument.
Uh-huh.
And this guy had killed 77 Indians.
Well, he said 99, he regrets it wasn't 100.
Well, mine, he said he killed 70.
Although the article he gave me said 99.
Well, there were plenty of guys back then that killed a lot of Indians, so maybe it's two different
stories.
Maybe
it's two different guys.
Oh, the one I gave you said 99?
No, and his biggest regrets in life, he said on his deathbed that he didn't kill 100 of them.
Well, you know, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And so the Indians on the warpath again?
Yeah, because what they said is they went in there and they vandalized his gravestone, knocked it down. It's got this big old monument on the stone, and they knocked it down, and they've been thinking a couple of years about what to do, and they want to rebuild it, and now the Indians are all upset because they're going to build his gravestone again.
Well, I think they ought to make it a national monument.
Well, you know, the thing with us, if we would have did that to some fucking Indian for, you know, like a Sitting Bull or something for killing white people and smash his gravestone, we'd be in prison for a hate crime for 30 years.
Look at, like, Cesar Chavez, he had a statue, and... And we went out on top of it, because we wouldn't do a thing like that.
Well, these Indians, they went into a graveyard and smashed his gravestone. And, you know, could you imagine us to do that to an Indian? I mean, God, it would be civil rights violation.
Well, I got a good idea. They're building a 200-foot Indian in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Boy, if that son of a bitch comes down, it's going to reach all the way to Arkansas.
But that's not a gravestone. You know, that's pretty vile, as Indians. You don't see the difference in going to a graveyard and smashing somebody's gravestone?
No, I don't see any difference. I see a gravestone, you're dead. They put a stone on top of you to make sure you don't get back up.
I know the fucking Department of Injustice would see the difference. They'd be coming out.
Well, I know, but I don't take graveyards seriously.
Yeah.
In fact, it's a very archaic thing, and we need to cremate everybody and we need the land. You know?
Well, my point being, if it would have been us, those motherfuckers in Washington, D.C. would have us in jail for 30, 40, 50
I think
years.
You said that about six times.
Because I don't think you're getting how fucked up
I get it.
Are.
I get it. Now, watch out. This is a family show, man. Well, let's see now. You know, there's a big bunch of crap coming down, I hear, because the food for oil thing with Iraq.
Yeah.
There was some guys getting paid off by Uncle Saddam.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. And now that, and you know, I couldn't believe it that they didn't kill him when they found him.
Because
he knows all this shit.
Yeah.
And if he gets up there before a world televised court, he's going to tell everything he knows. If I was him, I would. If they're going to ice him anyhow, I'd say, yeah, I paid this guy off and I paid that guy off. And he bribed all these people in the U.N., and this thing's going to go, this is going to be bigger than the Teapot Dome scandal.
Oh.
They're going right into Washington. You wait and see. There's going to be a whole bunch of people possibly indicted or accused. Now, they wouldn't do that. Well, you don't think those guys in Washington would be open to payoffs, would you?
Well, I think they'd be open to payoffs. I'd be surprised if the Justice Department would do anything
but
about it.
But I thought they were good Christian men.
Well, they are. That's why they're rats.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, that's just getting started.
Oh.
This is going to get big.
Oh, I don't know. I have no faith.
Well, it is. Well, because you always, look, in any kind of power, you've got the ins and the outs.
Yeah.
And they fight amongst themselves. The Jews
yeah.
are the same
yeah.
way. Don't think the Jews are monolithic.
Yeah.
No, they fight each other. They even kill each other. They kill each other over a KNU argument in a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
So this idea that all these people, like all blacks are all together monolithic, or all Jews and all that, baloney. Greed gets into it, and they'll turn on each other, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we can get people turning on each other, that's good.
But the system is monolithic when it comes to stomping on us.
I never denied that.
There's no good in there to them.
Well,
there's no way to bribe them off to reason.
And we're monolithic too, because we're going to stomp their pink asses.
That's true.
Okay.
Oh, you know, speaking of Yids, you know, the guy that dropped the dime on Israel building the bomb, and he got 12 years. He got out of prison today, and he's a born again Christian, and he wants to come to America and become an American Jesus freak.
Oh, God. That's like an alcoholic becoming a cocaine addict.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I saw a good movie the other day.
What?
Kill Bill.
Oh, was that
Kill Bill 2.
Uh-huh.
Good movie. Better than the first one.
Oh, really?
Should watch them both. But this one is really good. And I think it's Keith Carradine.
Carradine.
You know, I used to watch his old man play...
Yeah.
Played Dracula and stuff in the old days.
Yeah.
He was sort of
John Carradine.
He was a stage actor.
Yeah,
you know,
John Carradine.
Famous stage actor.
Yeah, he was a Shakespearean actor, and then he became an alcoholic, and he just got like in B movies.
Yeah, and he wasn't really a great actor,
yeah.
but you know, but anyhow, his boys are getting better and better.
Well, Keith Carradine's he played Wild Bill in that Deadwood, and he was amazing. You wouldn't even know it was him.
Well, he played Kung Fu.
Yeah, he was in Kung Fu.
Yeah, but he's going to get a nomination. You wait and see. Because
uh-huh.
he's Bill in this movie, and he's got some dialogue that's just peachy.
Oh, is it?
All the lone wolves will love his dialogue, because these are basically lone wolf professional killers.
Yeah.
All part of a small cadre of professional killers like lone wolves.
Yeah, it's kind of like Charlie's Devils. Instead of Charlie's Angels, he's got a whole bunch of girls that do his bidding for him. And we're Charlie's
Angels.
Yeah,
he's got girls and guys.
Oh, the guys too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Marsden's in it. Remember Mike Marsden? He played in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, Madison?
Madison, yeah. He's in it.
Yeah.
One of his best roles, too.
Oh, really?
And, you know, he's been a pretty good actor, but he was really good in it. He played sort of a redneck that worked as an assassin. But he's sort of retired, living out in a trailer out in the boondocks. But this is good. And Keith Carradine, he's going to get an Academy nomination. He may not get an award, but it is terrific.
Yeah,
you got to go see that, boys, if you like a lot of blood and guts. And, of course, they exaggerate people surviving tremendous problems.
Uh-huh.
They bury this gal 6 feet under,
uh-huh.
and I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it's beyond belief, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a comic book thing. The first one is full of all the comic book sketches and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like real. It's more like a Spider-Man type thing. You know, it's like a comic book adventure.
Well, I've enrolled my girlfriend into that stuff, and I want her to get just as tough as that gal.
Mm-hmm.
I like her. Yeah. You know, I'd rather have a woman security person than a man, a good one. Women, I swear, if they got the ability and the upper body strength or whatever, they're better than men. Especially their intuition about people in a crowd, all that kind of stuff. And nobody expects a woman to be a bodyguard.
Yeah.
But if I had my choice, I would prefer a woman for a bodyguard. However, I don't really like bodyguards because, like Bob Miles used to say, then I'd have to save my bodyguard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, most bodyguards don't know how to bodyguard. You see them, they're right up next to the guy they're guarding. Well, that's not the way you do it. You stay back a ways.
Yeah.
Just stay a few feet away. And then you can see people coming at them, you see. But if you're right up close, it's not that easy to see.
Yeah, There's some people that are really hard to be a bodyguard for, like Huey Long was one, because he would never stay in pace with his bodyguards. He was always, you know, walking in front and running out and shaking somebody's hand. And,
well, I'm terrible too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just, well, we always got on that every time we go to the courtroom, because, you know, we would try to be watching you and you would be somewhere else and we'd have to look and make sure where the hell you were.
When I ran to Clint, Ed Letson, who was chief of security, used to drive him nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I walk fairly fast, you know, when I'm in something like that and stop to talk to people,
yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Carl and I got kind of pissy a few times at LA courthouse, because you'd go up and talk to people and we wouldn't know who they were and you'd just dart up there and talk to them. You know, that's what got Huey Long whacked.
No, what got him whacked is a nutty Jew dentist with a gun.
No, well, but he was way out in front of his bodyguards, and he was
wait a minute, he just walked out. I've been on the spot.
You were there.
I've been on the spot where he was shot, and he was just coming out of the swinging doors of the assembly, just walking out there, and the guy jumped out of the shadows and shot him. And of course, then the Louisiana State Police they must have put 50 bullets in that Jew.
Well, that's not the way I've read it, that supposedly that he went way out in front of his bodyguards.
We couldn't be way out in front of his bodyguards. There was just you come out of the place and the hall is only a few feet across,
uh-huh.
And he'd just come out of there and there was the guy.
I mean,
you know, so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
I was there, boy, and you know that
you were awful young.
That state building down there looks like Berlin, 1936.
Yeah.
It still does.
Oh, really?
And God, the ornate copper, zinc, and all that in the big doors going into the assembly there. When Duke ran for state senate and I handled his campaign, we went down there, and of course Duke, you know how he does. He went. There was no business going on in the assembly, so he went in, crawled over the ropes, and sit in the chair like he was one of the representatives, you know. And so I got a good look at that building.
It's got fascists and stuff on it.
Well, you got German eagles all over and everything. It was he was fascism on the hoof, man.
Well, remember the silver dime used to have a fascist on the back of it.
Well, yeah, of course. The fascists are still up in Congress and the Senate there on the sides of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? You know, it's always fascism, oligarchy. It just depends on who they're working for.
Yeah.
Well, there is no joy in Mudville.
How
well,
come?
Well,
struck out
back there outside of Detroit in this little town, which is probably a bunch of white people moved out there to get away from the Gars. They got a mosque, and now the mosque, they want to have the call to prayer six times a day with a big loudspeaker on top of the mosque, and the people are sort of pissed at that. You know that. You know, they get excited about little things like that. You can't get them excited about anything else. But now they're all up in arms because, well, you can imagine around the little town every hour or so. You know, and it's almost as pain in the ass as church bells ringing.
Oh, yeah.
Church bells ringing don't sound quite so bad because it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't even have to think about being a church.
I grew up next to a church of crap, and there was between my bedroom and the church, there was about a 4 foot,
walkway.
And every Sunday morning, they used to wake me up with a fucking if you're saved and you know it, stomp your feet and shit like that.
Oh yeah,
it used to drive me crazy. A lot of times I used to put like Yoko Ono, you know, John Lennon's wife's record on. She's always screaming. I used to play that really loud. They called the cops on me once. I got in an argument about them. Turning down the fucking
singing. We used to live down in Florida for a while, this rented house, and we lived right down, just up the street from the Holy Rollers.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, they're so loud.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd go crazy, they're bouncing off the wall. And, you know, they're white people, but they act like a bunch of niggers, you know?
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, what the hell else? We need more money, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
This was slow month, man.
Was it?
We need more orders. Come on, get off your ass.
Oh, you got a new...
I don't charge any dues.
Uh-huh.
I don't make you buy a uniform.
Uh-huh.
I don't make you buy a flag. I don't make you go pay an initiation fee. I don't make you get a membership card.
That's why you don't have any money.
And I don't drag you around to all these damn eat, meet, and retreat meetings, so you should have some money.
Well,
I'm saying, I'm saving them all. You know what they probably, a lot of these guys do? they listen to me, but they still go and do all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah,
you know? And then they're broke.
Yeah, they got
they got an IHR meeting or some kind of revisionist meeting in Sacramento coming up. These people will spend hundreds of dollars, some of them thousands, because they're coming from all over, you know, Australia, all over the place. And they're going up there, and they're going to sit there and listen to what happened 50 years ago or 100 years
ago. Well, you know, remember we had a guy in L.A. that he never had any money. He was always broke, but when Aryan Nations had a congress, he would spend like $500-$600 to fly up there and get a hotel room just so he could spend the weekend up there.
Yeah, and
you know, like give all this money to the airlines and the hotel industry, and the movement wouldn't get shit.
Instead of instead of putting that money into equipment and so forth, like we're doing, remastering all this historical. I've got tons of 3/4-inch tape from all over the world that I'm remastering.
Yeah.
But I need money to do that. And I'm doing all our Race and Reasons, and we're going to put them all on DVD, but I need money. Yeah. I mean, you know, but these guys, I know where most of the money's gone. It's going to the phony right wing, or maybe to some Christian church, I don't know.
Yeah.
And when they die, they'll give it to all their race-mixing kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Foreign workers come to USA for training, take jobs home. Isn't that interesting?
At least they're going home.
Outsourcing. They're outsourcing. Well, yeah, but, I mean, come on, give me a break. Well, I don't know.
I'd rather have them take the jobs with them than stay here and get the jobs.
Says here, non-whites unrepresented in civic participation. That must mean that they perceive civic participation as mostly white, and they want to be separate. But we want to force them to participate.
Yeah.
And they're out there kissing their ass like the Jehovah's Witnesses to get them in to participate in the civic duty. What do you think?
Well, you know,
about
you know, it's ironic because the civic stuff is you got white people who want to help build the non-white community, and you got non-white people who don't give a fuck. So the white people say, oh, where's your civic duty? Come help us build the non-whites and help them take over America. And then the niggers say, well, fuck that shit. I want to smoke my crack. I don't want to do that. And they say, come on and help us. Be an American.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's a bizarre nation.
And I got real sad news now, though. This is really serious.
Oh.
The low pay squeezes FBI agents and perhaps U.S. security.
Uh-oh.
The FBI guys are complaining they ain't getting enough money.
Uh-oh.
Well, why would we give them enough money when they can't stop anything?
That's true.
They couldn't stop 9/11. They didn't know nothing about nothing.
Well, they get at least $16,000 a year, don't
they? They had the hard drive from the damn bomber up there, and they wouldn't even take it in and check it out. And here it shows on the front page. This was USA Today, I guess. But anyhow, it shows this FBI guy with his jacket on, FBI on the back, and in this one lone apartment. It looked like no curtains, an old bed. I don't even see a TV. And he just sitting there so forlorn. So, come on, we got to go around and take up a collection for the FBI.
Cause I mean, they're always just pushing for more money, more money, more. You know, I bet those guys get, what do they get, about $100,000 a year or more?
Probably. And you know what, the guy just said, the head of the FBI, he said, well, we're 5 years away from getting this program really set, but we need lots more money.
Well, you know, just to have truck drivers to go to Iraq, they're getting a couple $100,000 a year. So I imagine if a truck driver in Iraq's getting a couple $100,000, that these FBIs.
I don't think they're getting quite that much. I know one got $80,000. One of them they grabbed over there, he was getting $80,000, according to him.
Oh, well, there's a thing on TV that they're training them. They're sending them off to Texas. Well, maybe they weren't truck drivers. They were calling them truck drivers, and they were saying they were getting
truck drivers with an Uzi.
Yeah, they said they were getting a couple $100,000 a year. That's where they're going.
These are all mercenaries. No matter what they're doing, they're just like support troops in a war.
Yeah.
Well, why would they kidnap Charlie? My husband's just a truck driver. Well, how is supporting the war?
Well, I've noticed that a lot of these truck drivers were in the SEALs and the Green Beret and had Vietnam tours of duty and all kinds
of. Yeah, they know what they're getting into, but then when they get nabbed, then it's, and then the whole town turns out, all the churches ring their bell. Oh, our wonderful Charlie, he wanted to pay off his bad credit card debt, so he went over to $80,000. He's such a good American. He's such a good American. Yeah. Gas guzzlers sell best. You know, after all this high-priced gas, gas guzzlers are still selling best.
Yeah.
What's that? What's that all about?
People like comfort.
Comfort. No, I don't think they like... So I think comfort is second. I think big, tough, and I want to push you off the highway is what they really like.
It's mostly soccer moms with those big SUVs.
Can you imagine if every soccer mom had one of those... what's that military kind? Like
a Hummer.
A Hummer? Mm-hmm. Imagine if all of them had Hummers.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be toast.
Oh, no kidding.
If I see them in the rearview mirror, I'm just getting off the road.
I was at
when I'm in that old Lincoln.
I was in Target today, and there were three cars, and they're all through the same make. They were called like a Cheyenne or a Skyen,
uh-huh.
And they were square.
Oh, they're funny looking, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I mean, they're uglier than shit. And when one of the guys was coming out of his car, and I guess I was talking to myself, and I go, man, that's an ugly piece of shit. And he heard me, he gave me the nastiest look. I mean,
they
there
are.
Were a couple of boxes, but there were three of them. So I was kind of wondering, like, what is it? Is that like an electric car? What the hell is that?
Well, I don't think it's electric, but I don't know how they're getting away with that.
I mean, they're tiny as hell.
Well,
it's smaller
like,
than you go.
It's almost like a 1930 pickup, a panel truck or something.
Oh, yeah, you know, the wagon there, but there's a wagon, and there's a little tiny car that's smaller than a Yugo, and it's square.
Yeah.
Front square and the back square.
Yeah.
It's bizarre looking.
Yeah, it is bizarre.
Seems like it wouldn't have any wind resistance.
Some more on Iraq. Six soldiers back from Iraq say Army ignored their complaint. Well, I only had three bullets in my arm,
mm-hmm.
You know. Why are you complaining, damn it? Get busy and work. Well, you know one thing they got going? Twice as many people died over there, as they say.
Yeah.
You know why?
Why?
The Army has a rule like they did in Vietnam.
If
they can get the guy out of there still breathing, mm-hmm. and he dies outside of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
then he's not counted as a fatality in Iraq.
Yeah.
So the minute the guy gets wounded, if they take him over to Germany or someplace where there's a hospital outside the place, well, then he don't count when he dies.
Lots of in Vietnam, they see either send the wounded to Thailand or hospital ships.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having your gut shot and somebody throw you on a helicopter and send you way out into the ocean instead of working on you right there?
Yeah, well, you know how that goes, man.
Yeah.
You know, that ride in one of those helicopters.
Oh, yeah, those things are rad.
I rode a helicopter with David Duke one time. It was my idea, but boy, that was a scary deal.
I worked as a seasonal firefighter when I was high school, and I rode in quite a few different type of helicopters. And once I had to go down the hill and get some batteries because we were going to work at night because fire was going at night. And sheriff had a helicopter there, and he was going to give me a ride up in the top of the hill. So I had this box of batteries, and he was going in and out like that. I didn't have a top and an off. All the batteries were falling out. By the time I got in the hill, I had absolutely no batteries at all. So that whole trip was wasted.
Now, the U.S. defends bombing a mosque. Now, you know, what if they had bombed a synagogue?
Oh.
Well, that would be... That would
be a hate crime.
That would be a hate crime of all crimes.
Oh, yeah.
That would be an international, intergalactical hate crime.
It would make a footnote in the textbook.
But it's okay. Now, so it's okay then for the Klan to blow up those churches down south when they were giving aid and comfort, and the blacks were using it as a staging area.
No, that was a hate crime.
Well, I said all along that the whites were totally correct in blowing up black churches because that was the enemy, and that was their headquarters, and that's where all the money was coming in, and that's where all the northern carpetbaggers were coming in. So, of course, a church may become a target.
Now you're thinking like an American soldier.
Yeah, man. It was strategically a target.
Mm-hmm.
And I see nothing wrong with it. And sometimes there's areas of problems. You know, some girls got killed down there. But how many white kids got killed?
Yeah.
So anyhow, but you know, I think it was Morris D started out by saying that he wanted to help some people who had a church burned down or something.
Mm-hmm.
And all this white congregation were all for it. And then he said it was for the Ebenezer Baptist Church or whatever the hell they call it
mm-hmm.
there in Montgomery that blew up,
mm-hmm.
the Klan blew up. Then all of a sudden, the people say, "Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, we don't want to get into politics." What a bunch of hypocrites! What else is cooking?
Oh, you know, Steven Spielberg. He's going to make a
asshole.
New movie. He's teaming up with Schindler's List star Ben Kingsley, and he's going to make a movie about the 72 Olympics where they kidnapped those Jews and killed them, those Arabs. So he's going to make Holocaust Part 2, and it's going to happen in the Olympics.
Now, wait a minute. I missed something there.
You did.
Who screwed who? Who raped who? What?
The Olympics.
The Munich thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that was cool. That was the best thing that Arafat ever pulled off.
Yeah.
It's all been downhill since then. He started playing regular politics and he can't get anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But he got farther with that one hit than he ever got with anything he ever done.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Steven Spielberg is going to make a Holocaust sequel and that's going to be it.
I want to play a bad guy. Can I, maybe if I put a little, I'll get a good tan and wrap around, a towel around my head. I bet I can get in that movie.
Yeah, tell him.
That'd be fun. Just think, I could get on the set, and I got all these guns and stuff, but I'd take the blanks out, put real ones in, oh shit, do it all over again.
Except they'll probably have blonde hair, blue-eyed Aryans playing the Jews.
Yeah, always. And oh brother. Well, I think that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, any movie, you can take it the way you want it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can make a hero out of the bad guy if you want. They tell you what the bad guy is, but you don't have to accept the bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say, that's my hero. Half these movies now, the bad guy is my hero.
Oh, yeah, I always edit movies in my mind, like Debbie Does Dallas. That was a spiritual movie in my mind.
Wait a minute! You can't say that.
You can edit movies in your mind any way you want.
Wow, man. Well, I guess Arizona's got problems.
What's their problem?
Arizona, when you call for the welfare department, you get somebody in Mexico or Pakistan.
Oh, really?
To talk about your case.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what's going on. When low-income Arizonians report problems with their welfare payments or food stamps, they call a toll-free number provided by the state. A helper person in India or Mexico answers.
You know, the funny thing about that is they go to Pakistan. Here's some Paki probably making 5 cents an hour, starving to death. It's just some nigger whining about his welfare check.
He didn't get his $700 or something.
Yeah. The nigger probably makes more in a day than the Paki makes in a month,
But that's going to entice more of those people over here, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, if I can get that on welfare, what am I going to hang around here where we can't even eat a cow?
Yeah.
Yeah. NASCAR.
What?
They're upset.
What for?
There's not enough Latinos in it.
Uh-oh.
So they're out looking for Latinos that can drive a race car. Because there's getting to be more of these mestizos that like the NASCAR. Now, suppose up to now, any place where it's mostly white, they got to do something.
Oh, yeah.
There were just too damn many white people in NASCAR.
Marks don't like that bit.
So first you got to get the Latinos. I hate that word. And then next they'll get the Negroes.
Well, I think the queers will be first, then the Latinos and the niggers.
They may have queers in there already and don't
queers.
Even know it.
But they're going to have a couple drag queens that are driving.
Well, I'd get my ass kicked if I said that in a NASCAR race. I think there's homos out there, huh?
Yeah. But
they'd get me off. Well, however, it might turn out to be more like the Roman gladiators and the white rednecks that drive a NASCAR. Oh, hell, there's a nigger boy in that car.
That's the first thing they'll accuse him, because, they're always driving people into the wall. And the first white guy that runs a black driver into the wall, he's going to scream racism. It'll be a big old racist.
Well, I'm going to say the South's going to rise again when they do that, man.
Yeah.
What's up? You got some more? Huh?
No.
You're done?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not done. American Airlines became, I hate American Airlines. You know why?
No, why?
They screw with our people. They fired some of our friends.
Oh, yeah.
And they did them wrong.
Yeah.
And American Airlines, we get a lot of information on what they do. And they're hiring all these ragheads and everybody can't even speak English.
Uh-huh.
They get rid of all the white guys who know what the hell they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Well, now American Airlines became the third U.S. airline to acknowledge giving passenger records to the government, sparking denunciation from privacy groups. Seeing it's the world's largest airline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I won't fly American.
You won't.
You know what they did?
What?
They took a bunch of American Airlines planes down to Florida, and they wanted to paint them, and they got a crew of Haitians to paint the damn things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not to paint them, but to sand them down.
Yeah.
Well, the damn niggers, they sanded down to the rivets, and were breaking rivets on the plane. Well, you know what happened? Plane will come apart.
Yeah.
They had to spend tons of money redoing all those rivets. because those stupid niggers were grinding them off.
Mm-hmm.
They were just supposed to sand the thing to paint it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes people are going to learn the hard way. I don't know. But anyhow, don't fly American, whatever you do. You take your life in the hand, your hands. You know the guy that was indicted for putting toxic material on that passenger plane that nosedived into the Florida swamp with the nigger football players?
Value Line?
Yeah. Well, they hired him while he was under indictment.
Yeah.
American Airlines hired him as a supervisor while he was under indictment for murder.
Mm-hmm.
What an outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're right there in Tulsa. I think most of them are good Christians, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, this water drought's getting really bad, Dr. Kaldenberg, all over the Southwest.
Yeah, I've been drinking a gallon a day.
Yeah, man. Down there in Arizona's on the verge of the worst drought ever, said John Sullivan, associate general manager of the Salt River Project. But I had notes here, and where in the hell did they go?
I don't know.
You covered up my goddamn notes, man.
I don't know
where they are. What the hell? Get them out from under that. Well, anyhow, here, the Colorado River is now serving 18 million people with water. It's no wonder there's none left down when it gets into Mexico. The fucking Mexicans, they're going to end up with a teacup of water, yeah? Anyhow, 18 million people, and it's polluted by uranium mines. And that was in Colorado, rocket fuel spillover in Utah, and sewage from Arizona.
All right.
We're drinking all that crap.
You are.
Well, what the hell are you drinking?
I go buy bottled water, man.
Well, where do you think they're getting it? Those guys are crooked as a dog hind leg. Half the time you got more stuff, bad stuff in it.
It comes from the high Sierras, it says on the label, and they can't lie.
Well, you know, we're getting how many million more people a year coming into the Southwest?
Oh, yeah.
But the water's getting less and less. And
well, you know, the good thing about the Mexicans is they don't take too many baths. So.
Yeah, it shows all the states here, a big map, west facing. Oh, that was wildfires. Oh, God.
Well,
water,
fucked up,
fire,
man.
Boy, the whole thing is really screwed up. I don't know what to say, but...
Why is all the fire...
No wonder I've been feeling funny. I'm drinking rocket fuel, uranium, and what else? Sewage.
Sewage.
I don't know. Better than some of the booze I've
drank. You drink what you are.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that the fire goes all... There's fires everywhere except Nevada. Well, I guess because Nevada's a desert. Yeah, exactly. That's probably it.
I'm a firm at Las Vegas. Yeah. And I know a few people would like to do that.
Yeah.
Dr. Kaldenberg, I hate to tell you, but it's about time to get on out of here.
Okay.
And you can get back on up there to the high or low desert or wherever it is you hang out in that cave and think. You just think all week long, don't you?
Darn right.
That's right. Okay. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody out there. Let's see how it goes here. Hopefully. Okay. Been good to have you. I really appreciate it. Thank you a lot. And be careful when you leave this place. Because the woods are full of mestizos, and they got rocket launchers and everything, and they'll shoot your ass car. So you
and they
better,
don't bathe.
When you go down the mountain here, you better be going 100 miles an hour, boy. That's it. Goodbye.
Live the way my daddy did, but if you come around,
Yeah, there's still one outlaw left, and that's me, Terrible Tommy.